Please keep us in mind when you're about to shop at Amazon. Start at pwtorch.com/Amazon. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. Click on the Amazon logo on that page, and it takes you right to the Amazon homepage. But that two-second detour by starting at pwtorch.com/Amazon means we get a commission on whatever you buy on that shopping trip. So every single time you're going to shop at Amazon, don't type in AMAZ. Stop right there and go to pwtorch.com/Amazon. Thank you so much for your support.
Now, PW Torch brings you the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. It's time to talk this week's WWE Monday Night Raw.
I don't know about you, Travis, but I am so excited to see Triple H against Undertaker in Hell in a Cell this Sunday, exclusively on WWE Network with Mick Foley as special referee.
That would be awesome, Wade. Like, man, you really threw me off there.
I'm sorry,
I totally get the whole like crisscross mixed match. Like, what's happening? What's getting promoted and when?
Oh,
when is it happening?
God. I know. Yeah. I want to apologize. First of all, I'm battling laryngitis, so I'm going to be a little less whatever it is. I usually am a little less of that than usual, so bear with me. This was like I'm watching this and I'm like, okay, Mick Foley's going to be special referee for Hell in a Cell. That's why he's here, to talk about Triple H and Undertaker and the legendary match against Undertaker. And I'm like, oh, wait a second. No, they're not in a cell. Well, then is he refereeing the Triple H Undertaker match? I know if you're paying really close attention, you can kind of keep track of it. But, like, there's those little moments where – and then they announced at the end of the show, right before Braun came out, Undertaker on Raw next week. And I swear to God, the thought in my mind was, oh, he's going to talk about the outcome of his Hell in a Cell match against Triple H and whatever Mick Foley does. And then it clicked, you know, a half a second later. Oh, no, wait, that's for the Australian show coming up. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of star power and it's cool and all that. But it is, they're going to, and then on Raw, Travis, they're cross-promoting now all the SmackDown matches during Raw, which just sort of adds a whole other layer of potential confusion. So, anyway.
Yeah, when they first announced the Super Show in Australia and they had the angle or whatever, the promos and the superstars, the legends and stuff talking about it, I said, like, this is going to be a thing. Like, the only way you can make this not feel like just a giant 80,000-seat house show in Australia to a market that isn't Saudi Arabia, they get this isn't new to them. They are very, Australians, you know, get WWE a few times, you know, twice a year, I think. So you got to fill up that 80,000 seat arena. Well, you got to make it seem like it's not just the greatest house show ever type, like the greatest Royal Rumble was. And the way you do that is promote it in the States. Like, they have to know that you're promoting it here. It's not just some local thing for the Aussies. Now I think they're doing a bit much. Like, it was fine, like, doing the, you know, announcing it, having the promo, but having Shawn Michaels show up and and promoting it a week out that he's going to be there to talk about a house show match. Like, I don't care what you call it. It's what it is. It's a live event that I don't care to see. Like, whatever. No, nothing on that show is really going to matter. And it's for those fans, and that's great. But again, like I said, they're going, I think, a bit heavy now with the promotion of that show. Like, the Aussies are like, all right, we get it. It's a special show. We're going.
Yeah.
At least I hope. They hope.
We even got Triple H showing up in a limo. Which, you know, is reserved usually for McMahon's these days. It was like the staple of Nitro, but you don't get a lot of people arriving by limousine, and Hunter gets to step out of the limousine. And then I loved Hunter. And again, I like to pick on him a little bit because he tends to blow up his legend so much and get all the benefits of somebody who's so has the power, but also just the attend. Even before he had power, he had the motivation to just look over the shoulder of anyone producing videos on him going, oh, insert this and let's do this and let's make it 2 minutes longer. This is great. So he shows up and he's like, yeah, you know, we have this match with Undertaker. And then he goes, and all of a sudden all these legends show up making their predictions. And I'm like, Hunter, you're the one who called all of them and told them to send in the damn clips. Like, I mean, I know his character didn't do that, but It's just, yeah, it's sometimes, again, he can be a little much as far as the, ah, shucks, me. So, yeah, they're getting the Undertaker Hunter hype is overshadowing the Hell in a Cell hype. Anyway, I got to watch how much I talk. And so we got to get to calls here so I don't completely lose my voice before we get to our on-site correspondent and the mailbag segment. The email address, wadekellerpodcast@pwtorch.com. That's a clue to what this is. This is the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show following the Monday, September 10th, 2018 edition of Monday Night Raw. I'm Wade Keller, and I'm joined by Travis Bryant, the host of the PW Torch East Coast cast live every Wednesday. Travis, welcome back.
Thanks for having me again, Wade.
Good to have you. Okay, so we have people lined up on the phones. If you want to join them, call us, 347-215-8558. That's 347-215-8558. And be sure to push 1 on your keypad. If you don't push 1, then you don't show up in the caller queue. You're just in the background listening. So if you want to be on the show, you got to push 1 on your Touchstone phone or keypad. There, I said it, Travis. All right.
Yeah, I had this whole thing last week about that and pulse versus tone on the old house lines, landlines. Yeah.
All right. So anyway, by the way, I was in an antique store a couple days ago, and I was, you know, I picked up an old phone and showed my son, like, this is what phones used to look like. And I'm blaming my laryngitis on something from those old toys and old books and old things that you walk through, the musty smell and all the dust. And I think I got some sort of, like, you know, infection that led to my larynx swelling up or something. I don't know. I don't know where it came from, but it's not good for my job. So let's take calls and see where the conversation leads us. A lot more to talk about from this show, certainly, than my just being a wise ass about the confusion. Well, I don't know. There's some genuine.
It's a decent amount to talk about.
Yeah, definitely.
Hey, PW Torch fans, it's Sam Roberts, the last professional broadcaster, here to tell you about my podcast, Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast. Every Thursday morning on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Spotify, on YouTube, NotSam.com, wherever you get podcasts, you will find it. Interviews with the A-list of pro wrestling, whether it's Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, Roman Reigns, Daniel Bryan, just recently Corey Graves, Mauro Ranallo. They're all guests of Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast, as well as regulars like Dan Soder and one of my favorite people to talk about pro wrestling with, Wade Keller. Plus, every week we do a deep dive and analyze what's going on in the world of pro wrestling this week with the state of wrestling. Bruce Pritchard calls it the best interview in wrestling podcasts. I don't know if that's true, but that's what Bruce Pritchard says. Subscribe now. Get it every Thursday morning across podcast platforms or get the premium version at stitcher.com/notsam.
Well, let's go to our first phone call and go to 585 first. 585, please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, Wade. It's David Miller from Canandaigua, New York.
Thanks, David. Wow, for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I want to talk a little bit about the AOP match. Back when Raw started, however many years ago that was, all of a sudden on TV we had competitive matches. We'd been used to WWE Superstars, which was, you know, all pretty much all squash matches. And it seems like here lately, for the last couple of months, first starting out with the Bludgeon Brothers and now, you know, the last couple of weeks of the AOP, they're starting to include more squash matches with local wrestlers on there. And what I want your opinion on, because I like it as long as it's short, I think it's really effective in getting these teams over. And I want to know what your thoughts were on that.
I think it's a great way to introduce talent. I think having a one-sided match where there's hapless jobbers taking wild bumps for the wrestlers who are trying to establish who they are and the moves that they do makes sense. It clears the deck for the focus to be on the wrestlers who are relatively new to the audience or trying to be reestablished. So it works for me. I would vote for more of them. They're usually pretty short. The jobbers are usually pretty fun to watch get beat up. And I don't think there's any negative to it. I don't believe that people were less interested in seeing AOP beat the crap out of two guys than they were seeing Elias and Finn Balor have a long, you know, halfway decent, but pointless match otherwise. Like, I don't think there's a big difference in viewer interest in those two things. Travis.
Yeah, I would agree with everything you said and go further by saying I would like more of that even for established talent. Like, there's no reason jobber matches should only be with new acts like AOP or the Bludgeon Brothers when they got reestablished as the Bludgeon Brothers. It's, you know, yeah, enhancement matches should involve talent that have been on the roster for years.
Yeah, I'd like to see a mix of that, especially when you're trying, if somebody has some new, kind of a new direction they're going in, not necessarily a turn, but, you know, just to give fans a chance to reframe, to kind of look at them in a new framework, and also just let them establish what their finishing moves are and show them working. There's some finishing moves that haven't finished anybody ever on television, you know, and you want to add that to the mix. So, I mean, and jobbers are fun. I mean, it's a big part. A lot of fans grew up watching jobber matches, and it's a big part of their fandom. You know, the fun of seeing some of the jobbers get beat up, and tonight's were no different.
It's not even just nostalgia. They serve a point, and it would work up and down the card for a multitude of acts.
Sure. Yep. Yep. David, anything else for us?
Yeah, one more thing. I was a little bit confused about the ending segment there with Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman. Usually, before a big match like their one coming up here on Sunday in Hell in a Cell, usually the challenger will kind of get over a little bit there to make the fans make it seem like, okay, this guy is capable of beating the champion. And tonight we kind of have the opposite with Roman Reigns kind of getting the last word on Braun. What do you think that's going to lead into this Sunday?
Yeah, good point. Travis, what do you think?
Not sure. I haven't thought about it, like where's that going? But they do things, timing issues. The Shield got beat down. It was their night to come out on top, even at the end, even though it's a go-home show. They had to get some stuff back. They did as a trio earlier with the axe handles. Seth and Dean did later, attacking the tag champs and Roman at the end. I thought it was pretty paint by numbers in that aspect, but they do a decent enough job not doing the same go home show. So the challenger has to look vulnerable. Like, well, or the champion has to look vulnerable. Well, not all the time. Not depending where you are in the story. You do what fits the story. And that's what tonight fit.
Yeah. What do you think about Mick Foley being added to the mix? Oh, wait. Which match is he refereeing? Yeah, he is refereeing Roman Braun. Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
It would have been nice to get some interaction with Foley with Roman or Braun and
yeah.
not Elias. I didn't understand. Like, I guess that was just the platform to make the announcement, but
I mean, Braun badmouthed him a little, but yeah, we didn't really have that interaction. It would have been, I don't know, like having Mick Foley on color commentary, you know, I don't know. I mean, there had to be a creative way to get him a little more involved than the kind of the weird orchestrated yeah. vibe that the Elias.
Well, of the advertised, of the hyped stuff that Raw got this week, the Foley stuff was by far the worst. It was jumbled. It was not well written or executed, and it didn't put anything. It doesn't add to that main event. It doesn't add to Roman Braun.
I thought it was weird for Cole on commentary to say, "Well, Mick won't really have much to do. You know, he just has to count three or call a tap out."
Right, like,
there are
what's
no
he
rules.
Doing there, then?
Yeah, like it's like,
include him.
I mean, like give us some, I mean, obviously it'll turn out he's there for a reason and it's probably to get Roman cheered. Braun will be a bully to a sympathetic figure like Foley, and everything Vince does that revolves around Roman at all has to do with trying to figure out a way to get Roman cheered. So I assume Foley will be used in that way, but it should seem as if Foley will serve a purpose that a regular referee couldn't have. And I just don't think that was established.
Well, remember, I don't remember who the feud was with, whether it was Triple H. It was probably Michaels, but it might have been. No, it wasn't Kevin Nash, because that Bad Blood match was just a regular, terrible 35-minute Hell in a Cell match. But there was a buildup, I think, with Triple H and Michaels where refs for like a month just couldn't handle the matches they were in, maybe 3 months. And it led to Mick Foley's going to be the ref at Hell in a Cell. Because, I think referees were like, I'm not going to be in that match. You know, like, I'm not reffing that match. And yeah. Foley was put in. And then, like, the first 2 minutes of the match, he got, like, bumped hard or something. And everybody was like, is he going? And it was like, oh, I'm okay. And it was like, yep, that's why he's here. And, you know, and it was like, it was totally a reason to have Mick Foley specifically as a guest ref, specifically in a Hell in a Cell match. This is just, it was pointless. Mm-hmm. It was pointless.
Yep. All right, let's go to our next call. 814, you are up. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
This is Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland.
Hey, thanks for calling, Ryan. What's on your mind?
What's up, Ryan?
I have a question about the Connor Pure kids.
Yeah,
isn't
yeah.
it possible that one day maybe one day they could be like a Zach Gallen or a Gregory Iron? Like, some of these kids are getting pretty old, but they have like 16, 17. I don't know if there's any plans to like train one of them to maybe create like a wrestler out of one of them someday.
Catch a ton of that, but what I think I got what he was getting at. And the last thing I think, you know, everybody's different, and not everyone, one of these kids are suffering from the same disease or ailment or affliction. But I would think that a doctor, any kind of medical folks would say the last thing you need to do is someone who survived this life-threatening illness and you're now an adult healthy, hopefully, is to go be a professional wrestler.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody would stop them, but I would think, I mean, WWE is not in a situation where they're just going to take a valuable roster spot and give it to somebody who survived a terrible disease out of a charity. I mean, I think they're all welcome to try
even
out
if they,
and train.
Even if they got good to, like, I don't see anyone beyond being fit because they want to be fit and keep their body healthy and then do all those things to go then abuse their body as a professional wrestler.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's go to our next call here. And it looks like it's area code 803. 803, please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey guys, this is Joseph from Columbia, South Carolina.
Hey Joseph, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Just want to say it's going to be a quick question. I really enjoy the Bobby Roode, Chad Gable stuff just because it gets Chad Gable on TV, which I think is a good thing. I'm just wondering if you guys think that they'll kind of portray them as a serious team in the next coming months, or I think they might have Bobby get tired of Gable being, you know, overenthusiastic, and especially if Gable keeps getting the pins, and if they're just going to have them turn on him like 2 or 3 months down the road. I'm wondering where you guys think they might go with that.
I do, Joseph, think that's where they're headed. I think they didn't do it real strong, but there was a little hint to maybe Roode being surprised that Gable stole the spotlight a little bit with the pin. They do that a lot, you know, in WWE. It seems like they've done it recently with Charlotte and Becky, but it seems like they're going that way. I mean, I'm not against it if it's predictable. It still can be fun to watch. And I always enjoyed Jordan and Gable and their dynamics. So if they can kind of put an original spin on it, but do something similar with Roode and Gable, it's going to be a fun journey because Gable's a blast. Travis, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think these two were teamed for exactly that reason. I hope they can get 3 months out of that. But I would also like Chad Gable to tone it down just a little bit. And by just a little bit, I mean a lot. Like, it's one thing to respect a guy, it's another to just be like, it's a bit much, and it's hard to I don't buy it. Like, what did Bobby Roode do that you're so so enamored by?
So you're saying something that had struck the right tone in NXT is a little too amped up to 11 on the main roster to the point of actually losing something.
Yeah, it's different. Yeah. This isn't the same.
Yeah.
This isn't two guys on the same level. This is supposed to be like, oh my God, you're Bobby Roode. Can I tag with you and say your catchphrase? Was that it? Like that, Bobby? Like that? Like, he literally did that.
Yes, he did.
Back at him and was like, was that good? Was that good? Like, ugh. Like, I don't want to cheer for that guy.
Yeah, yeah, it was a little much. I'm enjoying it, but we'll see where it goes. I may be critical of it based on what you're saying in a couple of weeks. I mean, you do have to look at Bobby Roode and go, well, what is there to be so excited about? I mean, just saying. All right. Again, I got to move the show along swiftly for a variety of reasons, including my voice holding up. So we're going to wrap up our calls there, Travis. We're going to come back, talk to our on-site correspondent. We do have a lot of emails, and we'll get to those coming up later. Also, don't forget tomorrow, the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show covering SmackDown. Greg Parks, Pro Wrestling Torch columnist, my guest co-host for that. So join us then for that.
Searching for more great pro wrestling talk? Then join me, Jason Powell, host of the free weekly Pro Wrestling Boom podcast. Each week, you'll hear the latest news and analysis from me and my team at ProWrestling.net, along with other Pro Wrestling Media members. Plus, the Pro Wrestling Boom podcast features long-form interviews with notable names in the pro wrestling industry. Subscribe in iTunes, Stitcher, Downcast, and all your favorite secondary apps, or visit us directly at PWBoom.com. Once again, that's PWBoom.com.
All right, we are back with our on-site correspondent, Shane, from New Orleans, Louisiana. Shane, welcome to the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show.
Thank you.
So, first, tell us about the crowd in the building tonight. How full was the arena?
Well, the entire upper deck was completely blacked out. And I was sitting next to a buddy of mine who's an accountant, so we actually did the math, and we figured it was about 6,500, maybe 7,000. It was, I'd say, like 80% full.
Have you been to TV tapings or just WWE events in that building before?
Yeah, I mean, the last one was the SmackDown after WrestleMania that I went to, so totally different vibe, you know, different crowd. Before that, probably been about 2 years, and definitely a drop-off.
How would you say the crowd enthusiasm was for this show? To me, it seemed like there were a lot more video pack. I mean, we say this more often lately than not, but I'll underline it. More video packages and non-in-ring action than usual. Did that jump out to you?
Yeah, it was brutal. There was like audible groans every time a commercial would come on, a video package, you know, the same commercials we've been seeing for, you know, years in the arena. It was bad.
And then extended videos on three of the top SmackDown feuds heading into Sunday, too.
Yeah, and you realize how much better of a show SmackDown is because, you know, Becky Lynch and Charlotte's getting, you know, big pops, and Samoa Joe and AJ's getting big pops, and then nobody really into anything on Raw.
So I got the sense with the show closing angle with Braun and Roman, and Travis and I haven't talked about it much yet, the crowd didn't really go nuts for the body slam through the floor. And I didn't get a sense that they were super anti-Reigns or super pro-Reigns or super pro-Roman or Braun or super anti-Braun. Again, it can be sound, the way the sound comes across on TV. Describe the reception for Roman alone and Braun throughout the night.
You know, like Roman alone was, I would say, like 50-50. When he came out with the Shield, it was probably the biggest pop of the night, one of. Braun, it seemed like people were just still kind of confused. It's just, you know, there were still kids in the crowd that were, I guess, maybe still think he's babyface. And but I don't know. When he was with Dolph and Drew, he got some boos, but it was confusing.
Travis, go ahead and jump in.
So when the Shield first came out and they beat up, and seemingly like, you know, 28 guys. How did the crowd, did they go for that? Because it didn't seem like it was like their appearance was like got a big time pop. But once the action and the fists started flying, did it hold up?
It seemed like we the people wanted more. Like we thought something else was going to happen. I kind of thought that they had kendo sticks, and when they hit them, there was no sound, so we were kind of confused. I don't know what they were. It was just like sticks, wooden sticks. I don't know what it was.
Axe handles.
Axe handles? Okay. Yeah, it was lackluster for sure.
Well, I just think the whole thing was there were so many guys that they were fending off. before they pulled out their axe handles. And it's like, okay, the Ascension and, you know, but AOP was out there. It seemed like this is a lot for three guys that, you know, these are the same guys that beat them up last week. And now, you know, they didn't jump them. They saw them walk down the steps and they just beat everybody up. It was just, to me, it was just a little unbelievable.
I wasn't sure that it did a lot for the guys who were getting beat up, too. These aren't just all lower card or mid card guys.
Yeah. AOP was out there.
Yeah.
It wasn't great.
Yeah, it seemed like it was every heel on the roster, and because of that, it was hard for them to get any heat for the rest of the show because we had already seen them all, and they had already all gotten beat up by three guys.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, again, when something happens and you're like, oh, I wonder why they did that, you just have to begin with, was this done to try to make Roman look good? It was done to make Roman get cheered. And I mean, a lot of it applies. And I'm not saying they wouldn't do it even if Roman was over and that wasn't, you know, the number one goal of Vince right now is to try to improve Roman's popularity and the crowd reactions. But because maybe they would do it anyway. But so much lines up with, oh, yeah, this just make Roman look good. And you know, that did. You know, that did seem like that was the goal there. I don't know how much, Shane, you picked up on it, but certainly on TV I did. Travis, I'll throw to you first and then get Shane's reaction. I thought like the fake cop thing is starting to get played out. Like their shirts are all perfect and blue. Their uniforms don't look authentic. Two of the guys had beards, which last I checked, 98% of police forces don't allow. And then like the little thing of like Roman staring down the one cop and the cop like, ooh, it's Roman, I better back away. It's like cops don't back away from a guy for staring him down.
And why would you do that to a cop?
Right.
Like why would you – like he's doing cop stuff. Like he's clearly being used as a pawn. Like, oh, imagine that. Cops being used as a pawn by authority. And you're going to like get in this guy's face, this $40,000 a year guy who's just, you know, in the stories just copping.
Yeah,
you know, well, they did steal they stole a police vehicle last week and completely got away with it. So why not?
Yeah. Cops should hate these guys. They're friggin' delinquents, thugs, and criminals. But yeah, I thought that whole thing—the cops thing—has been stupid ever since Stone Cold got arrested and that, because cops on WWE never wear hats. It's like they don't. Obviously, they're not going to have guns for various reasons. But it's just like, just say they're security. Like private security or something. Like don't make law enforcement look inept and like buffoons all the time.
And Hunter couldn't help himself when he came in from the limo.
He just looked at him and laughed like.
But, yeah, I mean, it's just.
And I didn't know, is he laughing at the cops? Is he laughing at the fact that cops needed to be the idea of, wow, what a rowdy shuck. Ugh, what am I walking into? There's a few ways to look at that, but it's not a good sign that you're chuckling at the idea that cops are there.
I don't know. It was frustrating. So yeah, Shane, any thoughts on that in addition to that?
Well, what I said, you know, last week they, you know, got out of jail and saw a judge on Labor Day and, you know, stole a police vehicle, got back to the arena. So basically people just giggled when these four skinny cops. Yeah. Yeah.
No, I know. I mean, just stay in your universe. You know, I mean, just tell your stories within your universe and stay out of this. We're going to arrest you for this, but we're not going to talk about you stealing a police vehicle. And the cops never look real. It's just just stay out of that. Just stop. It's not an avenue you need to take in order to tell a story in a wrestling show. And they don't tell it well. Okay. Right. Shane, how about the crowd reaction for Ronda Rousey compared to other top stars on the show, male and female? How did the Rousey response rank?
She was definitely top three biggest babyface reactions. We had a big lull between the Nikki Bella match and I think maybe the B team tag match. There was just nothing for forever. And when Ronda came back, when Ronda came out, that was kind of woke the crowd up a little bit. So she was definitely over.
How does she rank compared to others on the show? Like, give us the wrestlers who were most over overall.
It was The Shield, and then the Bellas, and then Ronda Rousey. That's the way I heard it.
Yeah. Was there any crowd response that surprised you? Either because it was more intense, less intense, or cheered when you expected boos, or vice versa?
Well, Well, it was definitely the Bellows reaction. It kind of shot me. And when it happened, I kind of looked around the crowd and I realized how many young girls were in the crowd compared to years past. I mean, it's really grown. So whatever they're doing in that avenue that they're trying to reach young women, that's definitely working.
Travis, go ahead. You got to be getting ready for your next question always.
Yeah, no.
Don't let me down here. I got no voice.
Yeah, no. Who had not the best, biggest heel heat, but like the kind of like who didn't the crowd not want to see? And besides Roman Reigns. I mean, that's the easy.
Yeah, but I mean, Roman doesn't get like, people aren't bored when Roman's out there. You know, they're doing something, you know. They care, I guess, at least.
Might you call it polarizing? Shane, might you call it polarizing?
Yeah, sure. They love that word, right?
Yeah.
The Chad Gable, Bobby Roode thing, that was, I mean, it was so quiet. I heard a guy do a J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets chant during that match. I mean, it was bad. It was very quiet.
Wow. That's not good. All right, let's talk about what happened as far as crowd reaction when Mick Foley came out, how they reacted to Elias, and what you thought of that segment in the building.
Elias, you know, he works. You know, he does his shtick where he makes fun of the football team, and you know, we're still getting over that beating from yesterday, so that worked. You know, he made fun of the Saints, and then Mick Foley got a good pop. So that was cool to see him, you know. That segment worked.
Okay. Travis.
I didn't realize that there were so many, like, video packages and stuff. Maybe I'm just so beat down and used to WWE production, especially, you know, this time of year. You know, we're going to get the, you know, September and October back-to-back awareness months. So was there any video package, pre-produced content that got over at all, or was it all just like, oh, here they go wasting time, here they go filling time, I should say?
I mean, the Connor's Cure thing, you know, everybody was polite. It seemed like it dragged, like it went on for a long time. Big Show and the kids were standing out there for a good 5 to 10 minutes, like the whole commercial break, they were all standing out there. So we were kind of clapping for them and giving them their, you know, our polite applause during the commercial break. And then they came back and did the whole thing. We had to do it again. So that kind of stuck the air out of the arena for a little while. Kevin Owens, when he came out, they went back to commercial break, and we were laughing because they were literally showing like Hyundai commercials in the arena.
Oh, Jesus.
And Kevin Owens is sitting in the ring just with his head down, looking miserable and bored. And we're like, give Kevin Owens the microphone. Let him work the crowd a little bit. Do something.
Aren't they across the street from the Mercedes-Benz arena?
Yeah, right across the street.
Yeah, Hyundai.
Yeah, Hyundai.
What time, did you get there in time, Shane, to see what happened before Raw went on the air?
I did, yeah. Main event was, and I was looking forward to my Mike Kanellis match, and I didn't get it.
Oh no!
We got Ember Moon and Dana Brooke, and we got Zack Ryder versus Apollo Crews. And Zack Ryder and Apollo Crews was actually, now that I think about it, it's probably the best match on the show.
Oof, that's not good.
It was good though.
What were the results, if you remember?
Ember Moon won with the Eclipse, and Apollo Crews won with a Frog Splash.
All right, cool. Speaking of best matches of the night, did Balor Elias work for you, or did it seem to be more of a time filler? I mean, it wasn't bad, but it didn't feel. It just sort of felt like we're going to work back and forth and then do a roll up finish, and it didn't in the end feel like it accomplished anything. And I don't think while it was happening, it felt like it had a chance to accomplish anything. That was my perspective.
Yeah, it kind of like Finn Balor got a pretty big pop, and everybody's excited to see him. And then I think it went to a commercial break and everybody just sat back down. You know, everybody was hot for the match to start, and then they killed it and the match started and nobody really got back into it.
How about the advertised dark match? Did they advertise anything to help sell tickets, and did they deliver on said promise?
I didn't hear any advertisement at all for the show. The only thing I even knew going in was Mick Foley was going to be there. That was like the only thing I heard, and there was nothing that happened. After the Roman Strowman spot at the end, that was it. They said, drive safe.
Wow. No, nothing. That was, the end of the show was Roman standing there as his music played with his belt held high.
That was it.
Wow. How did the crowd react to it? Did it seem like, oh, that's the end of the show, or did people kind of look around like, that's it?
Yeah, it was just dead quiet. I mean, when he picked him up on the table, from my angle, we kind of thought he was going to put him through the table, and then we kind of thought something went wrong because they just disappeared. So we didn't. From my angle, I didn't see what happened. And then, you know, we saw it on the screen, but it just kind of, you know, fell flat. I was like, okay, and then we realized that's the go home.
Yeah. Yeah. I just don't think this Braun doing another stunt where people are like, well, yeah, but it was obviously set up and planned and they had padding down there and everyone's going to be fine. It's like, I think the Braun stunts have kind of played themselves out at this point.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. What'd you pay for your ticket and where'd you sit?
We were like second row on the, you know, right when the lower bowl starts. Right by the section where they do all the, like where the police ambulance came in last week, you know, that
sure.
area.
Yeah.
Yeah. Along. Yeah. So, it was like $90. It was a good deal. Good seats, but it's such a long show. I mean, it's so long. You're there for 4 hours and I felt like half of it was commercial breaks.
It felt like they knew they were up against the Monday Night Football games and like just sort of decided to do half the content in 3 hours. I know it didn't jump out to Travis, but it did to me. I mean, I normally I'm, you know, catching up on stuff and fast forwarding through some video packages, although I try to watch the fresh ones and the commercials. And I was just caught up all show. You know, I mean, I didn't have trouble keeping up because there just wasn't as much. It didn't feel like there was as much fresh content. So I kind of figured when we talked to you that it would be not a great in-person experience where you're more props for when they decide to go live in the building, as opposed to, you know, giving the people in the building who paid $90 a show where it seems like it was for them.
Right. And it was like, even like the Triple H thing.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, oh, Triple H is coming out. This is going to be something important. This is going to be something big. And, you know, he cut this promo and it kind of starts off kind of interesting, and then it starts dying. He starts getting some whats, and then you're like, all right, maybe we'll get Undertaker, maybe Foley's gonna come out and get involved with this, and then just over.
You there, Shane?
So
you dropped off just briefly there for us, but maybe that's
we're just saying Triple H just ended, you know.
Yes. All right, well, cool. Well, Travis, anything else you want to ask Shane before you sign off with him?
No, that was a pretty good wrap-up.
Yeah, yeah. Shane, really appreciate you taking time to talk to us.
All right, Travis. Y'all have a good one, man.
Yeah, appreciate it. Take care.
Thanks.
All right, we are back for the mailbag segment here, the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. Travis, we haven't had a chance to talk yet about your show, the PW Torch East Coast Cast. Tell people, if they are not listening yet, why they might want to listen, and as I always say, and why they might not want to listen, which might encourage more people to listen. Once you say that, talk about the show, how they can listen live, where they can find it on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and all the good stuff.
Yeah, it's the East Coast Cast. You can really find all the information you need for the show at eastcoastcast.com. It's a no-holds-barred, take-no-prisoners, you know, all comers, you know, welcome kind of show. Nothing's off limits. Pro wrestling is the base, the foundation of the show, but all topics are welcome. It is also not minivan friendly, so drop the kids off first, and then hit play in your car. It's myself and Cameron Hawkins who do the live call-in show, and we talk to callers for a few hours, and then later Rich Fan and myself do an exclusive VIP show for exclusive Torch VIP members. So yeah, eastcoastcast.com, that's where you find all of our info, how to get at us, all our social media. We're on every Wednesday, 6:30 Eastern till about 9. There's a live NXT watch in there because NXT is on while we record, and it's always on in the background. So it's tons of fun. Bring your big boy pants and turn your offended button off, because you'll certainly be offended by something I say, most likely. So
even if you agree on many things politically, you'll still find a way to offend somebody.
Oh, absolutely. Matter of fact, the people that agree most with me politically and ideologically find me most personally objective. So check us out, eastcoastcast.com.
I like to give Bruce Mitchell a hard time on Twitter about grammar. And I like to give Corey Graves a hard time on Twitter about grammar, because Corey's so arrogant when his dealings with Coach and especially Booker T. Booker T brought a lot on, but I think Corey Graves sort of oversteps his bounds and acts like he's better than everybody else. So I play Bruce, like today I picked on him. He's like, who's a bigger star? And it was a choice of three people. And I said, well, then it would be biggest star. Bigger is for two people. Biggest is for three or more.
Right.
You know, and I mean, I'm just, you know, and I'm doing with tongue in cheek, sort of.
But he's a teacher.
Yeah, he's a teacher. He's a writer. He's wrestling's most respected columnist. He ought to know this stuff. So I give him a hard time. So he off air, he like freaks out. He's like, wait, you're driving people away. Nobody likes that person. I'm like, but I think most people get one. No, you're too. Nobody likes that. You don't understand. I'm like, I think people get it and you don't. So Travis, what do you think?
Yeah, no, Bruce is overreacting as usual.
Okay, good. Now he's got his own version of the story, which is completely different than reality. And in that version, he's right. In that version, he's right.
That is not a surprise.
Now, would you say that was a high risk situation for me to ask you that question?
Let's not
go there again. All right. Let's stop. That's sort of inside baseball talk here. Let's get to the mailbag.
No, there's like 13 people that are like, oh, those guys.
Yes. All right. Patrick Chapman says, is it just me or does current WWE creative team have an obsession with the use of the term dogs to describe an individual wrestler or a group? At the same time, and on the same show, you have the big dog, the Hounds of Justice, and now we have Braun with the Dogs of War. Curious for your thoughts on the issue. Love the show. Keep up the great content. Travis.
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
I thought when Braun said we're the dogs.
The war dogs.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, come on. You got it. Be the hyenas or the elephants or rhinos. Or I don't know.
Yeah, I thought they were going to go with somebody. Maybe it was like Britt Whitmire. Somebody brought up last week, like, are they going to be the antidote, to Shield? But that's a babyface name. Like, who's mad at the antidote? Like, give me the antidote. Like, yeah, I'm dying here. So I don't think that's going to stick. Like, that's my the War Dogs or Dogs of War, whatever it was. I think someone might have been watching Black Panther or something, because I think that was Killmonger's like cells, like sort of like hidden secret terrorist cells were like his war dogs, and they were waiting to get the signal to do, you know, mayhem. Or somebody just likes, you know, dogs, Hounds of Justice, and you know,
I like Cody Rhodes and his dog better, but cause there's an actual dog. All right. Let's go to Patrick from Orlando. Dolph Ziggler should never stand next to Drew Gulak. That said, this is the second week he came out for the Team Bad Guys, but does this mean he'll be a mainstay on Raw? One can only hope. I think he means because he's shorter than him and he's not a cruiserweight.
What's going on with the 205? I don't understand. Like, you've got Drake. Drake Maverick is the AOP manager.
Yeah.
You've got that weird thing they did with Leo Rush and Bobby Lashley that I came back in the room and was like, what did I miss something? Like, what's this? And now you've got 2 weeks in a row of Drew Gulak doing stuff after they very distinctively and decidedly took the 205 Live guys off of Raw and had them exclusively on 205 Live. So I don't – this reintroduction in this non-explained way. Not that they have to explain, hey, the barrier's down. But just to do stuff like that all at once after not seeing these guys, to just be like, no reintroduction or anything. Just hey, you remember these guys, right? They're in the universe. You guys all know everybody.
It is, yeah. Like, I mean, what are people thinking of Leo Rush who have never heard of the guy before? I just think most people are like Leo Rush, and they're Googling him. Who's this? Oh, he's a wrestler. Okay, well, what's he doing messing with Bobby?
Well, first they have to click on. Did you mean Leo Rush? L-I-O? Because of course they spelled it. L-E-O, like you would.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Do you mean this? Yes. So, well, I mean, where do you think they're going with that? What are you intrigued? Is this the beginning of a Lashley heel turn? Like Leo's going to get in his head and you know, get Bobby on the path where he was in Impact, where maybe there's, you know, he's got a somebody, you know, turns him into having an attitude.
Look, if someone like if you've seen Leo Rush's NXT or 205 stuff, where he's in the you know, the designer sports sweatsuit with the plain Jane Rowley and the, you know, that aesthetic and the expensive sunglasses, just playing the you know, kind of cocky athlete character. Well, Bobby Lashley was at his best when he did that similar gimmick in his way when he was in NXT or when he was on Impact. So maybe someone's going, hey, this is Bobby Lashley's got a personality down there. Like you gotta dig and mine and, you know, with your pickaxe and all that. But it's there. And if we get him the right gimmick, we frame him in the right way, we can get this guy over. And this could be the start of that. And Leo Rush could then become a bigger star because he's featured on Monday Night Raw. Rather than 205 Live only.
Yeah. I hope so. All right.
I mean, this enhances his character going back to 205 Live.
Totally.
If in 6 weeks he's a big deal managing Bobby Lashley, or at least his, you know, his running buddy, you know, he goes back to 205 Live with his chest puffed out.
Leo managing heel Bobby Lashley against the babyface Kevin Owens should be where things are right now. And that's where they should get to. But they're, you know, they had a chance to turn KO babyface and haven't. Kevin Owens returning after pulling the George Costanza last week and at the beginning of this week, and now explaining, well, you know, Corbin begged me to come back. I mean, why did they have him quit in the first place if they were going to get nothing out of it? I think they had to have a change of plans.
Most definitely, because it was stupid. It made the company look like you don't want to put the idea that people will walk away from their dream job, blah blah blah. You know, like that's not something they should want to promote, and to do it to no gain, good or bad. It was just clear to me that they called an audible.
Yeah. All right. LZ says, not to be cynical, but do you think Renee being named to Raw caused the NFL to have a woman call Monday Night Football for the Jets tonight, or vice versa? Comment on that, Travis. I didn't pay attention to the game.
I didn't pay attention to the game or hear that was going to happen. Football is one of those. It's weird. I'm a very, very progressive guy, but hearing a woman call football specifically is odd. Like hearing a woman when I watch college football and she's calling like a, you know, whatever ACC game or something. It sounds weird. It never jumps into my mind when I'm watching basketball, pro or whatever level, and I hear a woman calling basketball or baseball even. I think I've heard, and probably hockey would be fine, but football for some reason, and even wrestling, it sounds fine. I don't think about it, but when I'm watching football and a woman's calling it, it's like, this is weird. But
that's
going to
be, by the way, Travis, this is the end of your life, you saying that.
Oh, yeah. No, somebody's going to like crop that and or it's the best thing that will ever happen. So maybe I'll just start slandering all types of people on your platform, Wade, to try to make a name for myself.
Well,
yeah, go ahead.
Well, let me read another email here and then give you our Twitter poll on Renee, and then we'll talk more about it. Zach in Texas said, big thumbs up to Renee Young for getting promoted to the Raw commentary team. Lord knows it was time for Coach to go. I just wish he could still host the kickoff shows too. There's no reason to think he's going to be any better at that. So he's got another part to his question, but I asked on Twitter, four options for the Raw announce poll. Choice one, I miss Coach. Choice two, that was not a laugh line. Renee is a big upgrade. Number three, just glad coach is gone. And four, option four, I didn't notice much either way. How many people do you think missed coach out of 441 votes so far?
I'll say, I want to say, 8 of them.
What percent? I'm not doing math right now.
So 1.
2%. Okay. 11% miss coach. I thought that was way higher than I anticipated. And he'll be on social media saying, hey, 1 out of 10 of you liked me. Take that. All you haters. 59% think Renee's a big upgrade. 16% are just glad coach is gone. Like, that's the number one motivation. I'm sort of there. 14%, I didn't notice much. I didn't notice much either, to be honest, because Renee, I mean, there just wasn't a lot of wrestling on the show. You know, I mean, so, but
I noticed it would have been the first time Cam had a poll similar to this when she debuted a few weeks ago. And it was from, I had a kind of middle ground, like, oh, well, you know, it was there was no big, you know, she didn't. Wasn't great. She certainly wasn't bad. It was just like she was very unnoticeable, which in this situation is probably the best thing. I think I saw her on Twitter somewhere say Vince only said two things in her ear night.
That's
it was
nice.
Like slow down and something else. But tonight I noticed she was a little she was sassier. You know, she was definitely trying. She was definitely interjecting Renee Young, her personality,
yes.
into the show. And like, I listen to her podcast and, you know, like I love her unfiltered stuff that they do on the network. And anytime she's like, I really like Renee Young. But Raw does not need sassy. It does, but it doesn't like I didn't need her saying, oh, she's putting her on blast. Three times in the show. Number one, it's not as hip a phrase as she probably thinks it is. Like, it's a thing hip people say, but like more like 8 years ago, it was kind of.
I was
like,
just going to start saying that next week, Travis.
You know, so it's like, you know, the 35-year-old lady that's trying to connect with the 22-year-olds is really, you know, and I'm not saying she's trying too hard. Yeah. I think she's just being Renee, but I think she should be cognizant of like she's kind of corny in you know, when push comes to shove, like in a good way, like totally, like you know, in a good corny
sure,
way,
yeah.
But yeah, just tone it back a little with the trying to be hip stuff. But other than that, my personal, I thought she was good and I thought it was an upgrade. For
I don't,
sure.
I don't think Corey, I think Corey Graves would be better. I don't think Corey will be as dismissive or disrespectful towards Renee as he was Booker and coach. I think he, you know, like I said, I was on his side with a lot of the Booker stuff, but I thought he crossed the line sometimes too. And even with coach, it's hard to make me ever be sympathize with coach. And I don't think he ever fully accomplished it, but a couple times I came close. Like, it was a little dickish of you, Corey. You know, that was a little out of, you know, coach didn't say that and you misheard and now you're all on your high horse. And I just think we're going to get a better version of Corey Graves. You know, I think Corey does get irritated by people who rub him the wrong way. And I think Booker said things that drove him nuts, understandably so, and coach just irritated. I mean, coach is an abrasive, oblivious personality. Renee's and all those things. So I actually think it's just going to be more pleasant to hear the three.
And she puts in a different level of work than Booker or a coach.
Yeah, and I just think she's more immersed in the product. I think she knows.
Yeah.
She's got a better sense of what they're trying to accomplish. Coaches didn't know what they're trying to accomplish. It's amazing how many times he just stepped on things that were happening, and Booker just ran countered, like undercut things left and right just to be controversial and. Yeah, but I don't want to revisit that. I mean, anyway, I think Renee brings the affability and likability of Booker along with an announcing style that's going to enhance the storylines and the characters. Okay, so Zach's other question. Anyway, Ronda Rousey was a highlight of Raw. I fought big when Natty and she hit the heart attack on Alexa. I was actually surprised she was in the ring as much as she was. Corey Graves laid it on a little thick talking about her rib injury. I really think she's going to have a DDP tape job on Sunday. As far as Roman goes, was it just me or did the Shield have a decidedly mixed reaction when they were swinging axes at the top of the show, axe handles at the top of the show? Also, is it too much to hope that Mick Foley takes a bullet for the fans and Fast Counts Reigns on Sunday? Oh, that'd be hilarious if it's unplanned. 1, 2, 3. New champ, Braun. Then he runs.
Yeah, Foley just takes it and he's like, you know what? I'm sick of the direction you guys are going in, and the fans are telling you they want something different, so I'm going to give them something different. Yeah,
he does. He fast counts, and then he grabs the mic and goes, see it all in two. Runs. It's not going to happen. But I actually like the Ronda Rousey rib injury thing. I mean, I think they had to do something to make it seem like Alexa has a chance. And I think that was the right thing to do. You know, I mean, it's not the only thing I could do, but I thought it made sense. And Rousey saying, you know, I'm not hurt, but even if I was, it's never stopped me from fighting. I'm still injured better than anybody else, including Alexa. I mean, it was fine. I mean, you're not going to get people to believe Alexa's going to win, but at least now you can expect a match.
Yeah, that was just booking 101 kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So that worked. All right, let's go to Aaron, Aaron T, who says, I just want to mention a subtle thing I noticed 2 weeks ago on Raw that no one has talked about on any of the shows I've listened to or watched. Did you notice that when Strowman turned heel, the first person he attacked was Seth Rollins? I'm not sure if this was planned, but if it was, I thought it was a clever way to get heat on Strowman. I think if it would have started on anyone else, it would have been a different feel. Since Seth has been so loved, I thought this was a smart way to start Braun's turn. I haven't watched Raw yet tonight, but I'm interested to see how they are proceeding with Braun being a heel. Travis, how do you think Braun as a heel is going? Like, and I'll throw this out as kind of a potential talking point. His promos just don't I feel like they're back to being I am caveman, I repeat lines. And it just sounds like I'm playing a one-dimensional character. And not that he had, you know, grown into super well-rounded as a babyface, but I think it's been kind of a step back so far.
Yeah, it has been. You really nailed it with the how he talks again now. And I think it's like, well, his last two promos, he's got to defer in some form to Ziggler and McIntyre, which is true. But when he does have his time on the mic, it's not pleasant. It's not, you know, I'm not like, oh, what's he going to say? Like, well, I'm going to beat you up. I'm going to smash you. I'm going to break all your bones. You kind of know what you're going to get with Strowman, but you definitely know what you're going to get with heel Braun Strowman.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Kyle from St. Louis says, we always judge WWE by their lack of continuity, but this week we once again saw Kevin Owens in a heel group supporting Braun Strowman and Drew and Dolph. Chalk one up for the writers and Vince. I mean, it is just ludicrous. I mean, Kevin Owens should not be coming out in support of anything heavy. Yes, he can be anti-Shield, but he should pick his spots and not have that be pro-Braun, given how recently they feuded.
Yeah, didn't even think of that, but that's such a good point.
Yeah. Yeah, it's you want to reward people, you know? All right, Kyle also wants to know, Drake Maverick dressing up in AOP cosplay for the second week in a row, hashtag continuity. I like that he wasn't in, like, the shield vest like AOP are this week, or, you know, whatever. But I still am not sure have they done anything to establish, like, who he is, what he's about, why he's with AOP? Like,
why do they need his motivation to go out there and smash guys and to beat up people and fight for the tag championships one day? Like, that wasn't their goal before.
I know
they're not different. They don't even have different outfits. I'm like, oh, they're kind of green now, but like nothing about them is different. Why are they taking advice, instruction, anything from the GM of 205 Live?
They have this thing where, like, well, if we have them talk for a long time, nobody will watch, so we can't do it. And then it totally undercuts the whole point of AOP and Drake Maverick being together. Like, I mean, you at least have to have the announcers explain it, but really, Drake is a good talker. He should be cutting a long promo explaining, you know, where he came from, why he linked up with them. They should, like, just give us more dimensions. Don't just go, well, he'll be good because he can interfere on their behalf as heels against Seth and Dean if that's where they're headed or whatever. It's frustrating. I mean, you know, just have somebody hold a microphone, have Charlie, and go, what's the deal? How'd you guys come together? And give us something we can remember and let people who don't watch 205 Live or Impact discover what's good about this guy. There's just nothing there to sink your teeth into as a viewer.
I mean, Corey Graves would be, if he get some of his credibility back, if he was like, they had a perfectly good manager and Paul Ellering, and they tossed him to the side. Now, months later, they're managed by Drake Maverick? Like what's wrong with these guys?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, obviously, Paul Ellering isn't going to go on the road, and he's, you know, that's, but still, the story was, they were like, we're here now, we don't need you anymore, and now, 3 months later, they have this second-rate manager, or at least, certainly not a first-rate manager like, you know, Paul Ellering, 30 years in the business, you know, that kind of thing, whatever. Yeah. So, it's, yeah, on a lot of levels, it's, doesn't make any sense.
All right. This comes from David E. from Holyoke, Mass. I, like many, was excited for Kevin Owens to quit, as it seemed to have some sort of potential for a storyline to rebuild him. However, couldn't this storyline of him doing whatever he wants have existed without him quitting? I'm at least glad they tried to explain it, but as a heel, wouldn't Baron Corbin just have been okay with Owens just beating people up? It just seems like this whole thing was done with no real plan. And if Bobby Lashley was the plan all along, then, well, to put it politely, I'm not a fan. I can't watch the last 3 weeks and think we're seeing week three of something that was planned 3 weeks ago.
And when has Kevin Owens ever been punished for his buckle bomb or his apron power bomb? Like, it's like one of those things, you do a move and they call you despicable on the announcers and, you know, oh, how could he do that? Oh, what about that man's career? Blah, blah, blah. But you don't get fined or suspended or your match is taken away or anything. It's just so him – that's him doing what he wants? Like, you've been doing that for years since you've been in the company. Like, what are you talking about? Like, every – all your made storylines, first few storylines with Zayn and John Cena was, you know, eventually you got to powerbombing them on the buckle, on the apron and that being a big deal. Nobody – suspended you or fined you then. So it doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't.
It's the same thing like Shield getting arrested for doing wrestling stuff, like stuff that we've seen for years and years.
I know.
And
even years. Seth brought that. Wasn't it Seth who brought that up? Seth was like, we just did what people have been doing for 25 years on Raw. Why did you arrest us? Man. So, yeah, I mean, at least he's.
So it's the same thing with Owens. It's like, you just,
I know.
Doing stuff.
I have a couple of things to round out here. Nikki Bella, we haven't talked about her yet, and pushing her, in laying the groundwork for her to be a threat to Ronda Rousey and perhaps a one-on-one match at Evolution. I did like the commentary, and they tried to go to Renee right away. Renee said the Riot Squad believes the Bellas are distracted by too many things going on in their lives, you know, with their own business and social media, YouTube, and reality TV. Renee said she disagrees because she says, if you want to get something done, ask a busy person. Graves then asked Renee if the locker room shows the type of respect to the Bellas now that they did, that the Bellas commanded back when they were around previously, which I thought was a really good question because it again, plants that seed for, well, the Bellas are going to be upset that the current women's crew kind of looks at them as part of the past. Putting that opposite the Ruby Riott probably doesn't work. Putting it opposite Ronda Rousey and Natalya can work. So I like that. I mean, I like planning the notion that the Bellas maybe are going to feel like, hey, wait a second, we're not being given the respect that we deserve. And of course, fans would be like, you don't deserve respect. And that builds up the heel heat for Ronda. And I thought having Nikki beat Ruby made sense too. You know, just one-on-one against the leader of the Rad Squad rather than one of the other two. It's trying to build up Nikki as a viable singles wrestler. So with that all said, if they're headed to Nikki versus Ronda one-on-one at Evolution, are they taking some good steps towards that, Travis?
Yes. But even with all that in mind, number one, I don't have Nikki Bella facing Ronda Rousey. That's absurd. That's in no world should Nikki Bella beat Ruby Riott.
Yeah.
Let alone Ronda Rousey, I assume, for a championship on a major pay-per-view. It's unbelievable. I don't buy it. Nikki Bella is not a fighter. She is certainly not capable, shouldn't be capable of beating a current, everyday bad guy wrestler, like younger, all that, scrappier, tougher, like Ruby Riott. It just doesn't make sense. But taking the larger story into consideration, like once that match was announced, I was like, oh, they're building they're building up Nikki for Ronda. There's no way she loses to Ruby. It would have been nice if she beat Morgan or something. But like you said, if you're gonna beat them, if you're gonna establish her for Ronda, then she's probably got to beat Ruby Riott.
Yep, yep. All right. Well, I actually think that's about it for me, Travis. Anything else from Raw jump out to you before we wrap up?
No. The only thing I wanted to get to was the Lashley Leo Rush thing, and we did. So,
Yeah, good. All right, well, cool. So, again, tell people how to follow you on social media and how to find your show.
Find us at East Coast Cast on all social media or on Twitter. And EastCoastCast.com is how you find the show and all our social media stuff. We are on Instagram as well as Torch East Coast Cast. That's not like linked to stuff because it's somewhat new.
Okay.
Definitely do that. But yeah, we're all over EastCoastCast.com to find all the information.
Now, was there an East Coast Cast on Instagram already?
No, I don't know. Cam, you know, started that. I don't know why he. There must be, or he just wanted to make it all uniform. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. East Coast Cast. Instagram, East Coast Cast. No. Doesn't seem like there's anything there, although. Yeah. So, okay. All right, well, cool. Travis, thanks. Always fun talking to you.
Most def, Wade. Appreciate it.
All right, you bet. All right, follow me on Twitter at TheWadeKeller. And follow our brand at PW Torch. On Facebook, you can find us at Facebook.com/PW Torch. And Facebook.com/WadeKellerTorch. And yes, on Instagram at PW Torch. Check out our website, PWTorch.com, with new content every day. Flashbacks from 5, 10, and 15 years ago on WWE house shows. We just put up Sean Radican's report on the first ever Ring of Honor live event he attended 15 years ago this weekend, which was really cool. Some big names on that show. We also put up a 10 years ago PWG house show report or live event report that had some major names on it. It's just insane how many top names today from the All In, ROH, Lesser So Impact, and WWE and NXT, how many went through PWG 10 years ago. And so, yeah, just tons of cool stuff up on PWTorch.com. Not just flashbacks. We got live coverage of Raw and SmackDown every week, TV reports on just about every TV show, Mae Young Classic, MLW Fusion, NXT, of course, on and on, plus breaking news and also editorials and special features, live pay-per-view coverage. So check it out. Create a home screen button on your phone for it, a bookmark or a tab. That's PWTorch.com. You can go VIP and take all the ads and plugs off of this show and all the Wade Keller post shows and podcasts throughout the week, and also all the PW Torch livecasts, all 7 that are available free over at pwtorchlivecast.com. Those are presented to VIP members, sometimes with longer shows with VIP bonus content, and sometimes posted earlier, and always with ads and plugs removed. Just go VIP. You get all those shows ad-free, plus a ton of other VIP shows. The main shows that I do are actually VIP shows every single day. Wade Keller Hotline, done it every single day for over 9 years, or about 9 years now. Haven't skipped a day, even with laryngitis in the past, which has happened when I've had a cold. Still push through it. And also the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show 3 times per week. I usually host those, although this weekend, because Bruce and I did so much audio going into and at and after StarCast that and All In Weekend last weekend, we broke from the usual format, and Rich Fan joined Bruce Mitchell as a special host of the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show. And they did a real-time kind of director's cut commentary on a couple hours of Mid-Atlantic Wrestling that's available on WWE Network. It's a nobody knows Mid-Atlantic Wrestling better than Bruce Mitchell. And it was a cool idea for a show. And Rich and Bruce had a lot of fun with that. So it's a way to kind of sync up WWE Network content and listen to Bruce add a lot of layers of information to it. Or you can just listen without syncing it up with the show, too. And then The Fix with Todd Martin, a weekly fixture of VIP membership. He's been on vacation a couple weeks. We've had some special shows with Todd, a whole review of the History of Pride Fighting Championship. We did well over an hour on that. And then the prior week, Alan Cunahan, Alan Forel, joined Todd, and they talked for 2 hours about the history of PWG and its early years. So we do some special theme shows in addition to current event shows. It's a great overall comprehensive package of covering today's wrestling scene, New Japan, Impact, NXT, ROH, on and on. Of course, tons of WWE content, but a lot of history and other special features. So if that sounds interesting to you, give us a try. Go to pwtorchvipinfo.com. pwtorchvipinfo.com to get everything that we produce throughout the week. Rates are as low as $9.99 a month or less if you commit to a longer-term sub. And, you get full details, plus 30-plus years of archives of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter, over 1,500 weekly issues covering all of Pro Wrestling's major stories, and ad-free access to our website, both mobile and desktop, and tens of thousands of hours of podcasts and retro radio shows, including a new retro radio show from the 90s that drops every Thursday night for VIP members. So go check it out. That's pwtorchvipinfo.com. That'll do it for me for today. Thanks, everybody. Until next time, Wade Keller signing off. Please keep us in mind when you're about to shop at Amazon. Start at pwtorch.com/Amazon. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. Click on the Amazon logo on that page, and it takes you right to the Amazon homepage. But that two-second detour by starting at pwtorch.com/Amazon means we get a commission on whatever you buy on that shopping trip. So every single time you're going to shop at Amazon, don't type in AMAZ. Stop right there and go to pwtorch.com/Amazon. Thank you so much for your support.